The day Eleanor Bennett became the wife of a dying man. The entire chapel smelled of lilies, rain, and pity. No one spoke loudly. No one smiled for long. Even the priest lowered his voice as though the wedding vows themselves might exhaust the groom before they could be completed. Lord William Ashford stood beside Eleanor with one hand braced lightly against the altar rail. His pale face made almost transparent by illness. His breathing shallow beneath the fine dark coat that hung too loosely from his shoulders. He was only 29. But sickness had carved years into him, leaving behind a gentleness so fragile that Eleanor could barely look at him without feeling the ache of something unfair. Across the chapel, Duke Adrian Ashford watched the ceremony with eyes cold enough to freeze every candle flame in the room. He had not approved of the marriage. Eleanor knew that before he ever said a word to her. Everyone knew it. The Duke of Ashford had made no effort to hide his disapproval from the moment his brother announced he intended to marry the daughter of a poor country schoolmaster whose debts had nearly swallowed what little family respectability remained to Adrian. She was a stranger appearing at the edge of William's final days. A young woman with no fortune, no powerful connections, and no obvious reason to become the bride of a man everyone knew might not live another month. A mercenary girl. His silence seemed to say. A convenient widow waiting to happen. Eleanor could not blame him for thinking it. Though that did not make the humiliation easier to bear. Her father had died leaving unpaid bills, a sickly aunt, and a small cottage already claimed by creditors. The man who held those debts had made it clear that he expected repayment in one of two forms. Money Eleanor did not possess or marriage to him. William Ashford had learned of it somehow. He had arrived at her cottage on a cold afternoon, thinner than she remembered from 6 years earlier and with the same kind eyes that had haunted a memory she rarely allowed herself to touch. He had offered marriage not with passion, not with false romance, but with quiet urgency. "I cannot give you a long future," he had told her, seated by the dim kitchen fire while rain tapped against the window. "But I can give you my name before the law can give you to a cruel man." Eleanor had refused at first. Of course, she had. She had told him she would not marry a dying gentleman out of pity, or let him spend his last strength rescuing a woman he barely knew. William had only smiled sadly and almost fondly, as if she had misunderstood something very important. "You saved my life once," he had said. "Let me save yours now." And that was the part no one in Ashford Manor knew. Not the servants. Not the Duchess Dowager. Not even Adrian, who stood now with his jaw tight and his gaze fixed on Eleanor as though willing her to reveal some hidden scheme before the vows were finished. 6 years earlier, Eleanor had found William bleeding beside a road after a riding accident, half buried beneath winter rain and mud. She had been only 17 then, frightened and alone. But she had dragged him to shelter, torn her own petticoat into bandages, and stayed awake through the night, keeping him warm until help came. By morning he was alive. By afternoon his family had arrived. Within days, Eleanor had disappeared back into poverty, and the Ashfords had never known her name. William had remembered. That was why she stood beside him now. Not for money. Not for title. Not for the grim promise of widowhood. For a debt of mercy that had come full circle at the cruelest possible hour. When the priest asked whether Eleanor took William as her husband, she felt Adrian's stare like a blade against the side of her face. She lifted her chin anyway and answered clearly, "I do." William's hand trembled when he slid the ring onto her finger. His skin was cold, too cold. Yet when she looked at him, and for one brief moment the pity in the chapel faded, there was only kindness between two people who both understood that this marriage was less a beginning than a shelter built against a storm. After the vows, while guests moved stiffly toward the chapel doors, William caught Adrian's sleeve. Eleanor had turned away, intending to give them privacy, but William's voice was so weak that the words reached her anyway. "Protect her," he whispered. "No matter what happens." Adrian's expression darkened. "William, what have you done?" His brother only closed his eyes briefly. As though even that answer would cost too much. Promise me, Adrian did not look at Eleanor then. If he had, she might have seen hatred, suspicion, resentment. Perhaps all three. But after a silence that seemed to stretch through the entire chapel, he said, I promise. 3 days later, William Ashford was dead. The death was not dramatic. It came in the blue hush before dawn. While rain slid quietly down the windows and Eleanor sat beside his bed, holding the hand of a man who had given her his name and nothing else, because that was all he had left. William did not cry out. He did not make a speech. He only opened his eyes once, looked toward the grey morning light, and whispered a name Eleanor could not hear. Then his fingers relaxed in hers. By breakfast, the house had changed. Grief in Ashford Manor did not weep openly at first, hardened. It sharpened. It searched for somewhere to go. The Duchess Dowager stood in the corridor outside William's room, straight-backed and pale, refusing to sit down even when her maid begged her to. Servants moved silently, doors closed without sound. And wherever Eleanor turned, she felt the same accusation forming behind lowered eyes. The bride had arrived. The beloved son had died. It did not take long for whispers to become words. 3 days, the Duchess Dowager said that afternoon. Her voice trembling with grief too proud to break. You were his wife for 3 days, Eleanor stood in the drawing room still wearing the black dress Mrs. Pembroke had brought her. Her hands folded tightly before her. I know, do you? The older woman's eyes flashed. Do you know what you looked like to us? A girl from nothing. Brought here in haste. Married beside a sickbed. And now already a widow under our roof. Mother, Adrian said from the mantel. It was not comfort. It was warning. The Duchess Dowager ignored him. What did he promise you? A settlement. A cottage. A share of the estate. Did he think buying your safety was worth spending his last breath? Eleanor felt the room tilt slightly. Not from fear but from exhaustion. She had not slept. She had barely eaten. William's death still lay against her heart like a hand she could not move. She had no strength left for dignity. Yet dignity was all she possessed. Lord William promised me nothing, she said quietly. Adrian looked at her then. For the first time since the wedding. Something like uncertainty flickered in his eyes. The solicitor arrived before sunset with William's final instructions. The family gathered in the library, where every book seemed to watch from the walls like a silent witness. Eleanor had not wanted to attend, but the solicitor insisted William had named her. That alone earned her another sharp glance from the Duchess Dowager. The document was brief. William had left Eleanor no fortune, no land, no jewels beyond the simple wedding ring already on her hand. A modest sum was set aside for her immediate comfort should she choose to leave Ashford Manor. But nothing that could tempt a woman to marry a dying lord for profit, at the very end. In handwriting that had clearly cost him effort, William had written only one strange request. Keep Eleanor safe until the truth is known. The silence that followed was heavy enough to crush the air from the room. Adrian took the paper from the solicitor and read the sentence. Twice. Eleanor watched his face harden, not with anger now, but with calculation. He was looking at the words the way a man looks at a locked door behind which someone has hidden a knife. What truth? He asked. The solicitor shook his head. Lord William did not say. Your Grace, the Duchess Dowager turned toward Eleanor. What does that mean? I don't know. Do not lie to us in this room, Adrian's voice cut across hers. Enough. The command was quiet. But the entire library went still. Eleanor looked at him in surprise. He did not look gentle. Nothing about Adrian Ashford had softened. He stood tall and severe in mourning black. His dark hair shadowing eyes that seemed to weigh every breath she took. Yet when he spoke again, his words were not what anyone expected. No one leaves Ashford Manor until I know why my brother wrote that. Sentence. The Duchess Dowager stared at him. You cannot mean to keep her here. I mean exactly that. Eleanor's heart lurched. Your Grace. I do not wish to remain where I am not wanted. His gaze moved to her, and the force of it held her still. What you wish may become relevant once I understand what William feared. He feared for me, she said before she could stop herself. Adrian's eyes narrowed. Why? Eleanor closed her mouth. Because William had known more than he said. Because the creditor who wanted to marry her had been furious when William intervened. Because 2 nights before the wedding, Eleanor had received a warning tucked beneath the cottage door that said noble names did not protect women who asked too many questions. Because William, feverish and weak, had told her only that if anything happened to him sooner than expected, she was to trust no one until Adrian knew everything. But trust was not easily given in a house where everyone looked at her as though she had brought death through the door. I cannot answer that yet, she said. Adrian's expression grew colder. Then you will stay until you can. It was not mercy. It was not kindness. But it was protection. Whether he intended it that way or not. So Eleanor remained at Ashford Manor, not as a wife. Not truly as a widow. And certainly not as a welcomed member of the family. She occupied a small suite overlooking the East Gardens. Accepted black gowns from Mrs. Pembroke. And moved through the house with the quiet carefulness of someone trying not to disturb grief that already resented her presence. Adrian watched her. She was aware of it. He noticed when she refused the more expensive morning jewelry sent to her room. He noticed when she asked that William's old nurse be given the flowers from the funeral because the woman had wept alone in the servants' hall. He noticed when the Duchess Dowager developed a headache from crying, and Eleanor quietly prepared the lavender compress William had once said his mother preferred. He noticed that she spent every morning in the greenhouse where William had kept his orange trees, trimming dead leaves and watering plants the gardeners had neglected during his illness. And he noticed the watch. Too plain to be a fashionable gift and too worn to belong to a new bride. Eleanor always carried with her. Sometimes Adrian saw her touch it through the fabric of her sleeve, as if making certain it was still there. Once, passing the greenhouse at dusk, he saw her open it, look at the tiny engraving inside, and close her eyes with a grief so private that he stepped back. Before she could notice him, for reasons he did not like, the sight unsettled him. If she was a fortune hunter, she was a poor one. If she had trapped William, and if she was lying, she was lying with a sadness that looked dangerously like the truth. A week after the funeral, Adrian found her in the greenhouse at twilight, standing beside the orange trees with soil on her gloves and rain, tapping lightly on the glass roof above. The fading light made her look younger than she had in mourning. Black. Less like the suspicious widow his household resented and more like a woman who had been brought into sorrow by force. Mrs. Ashford. She turned. Your Grace. The title landed between them like a wall. Adrian looked at the plant she had been tending. William hated when gardeners overwatered those, he said, orange trees dislike being smothered. You spoke of gardening with him? A small, tired smile touched her mouth. Among other things. When her hands stilled, Adrian stepped closer. Before the wedding, Eleanor did not answer. You knew him before he came to your cottage, Adrian said. It was not a question. For the first time, something like fear crossed her face. Before she could speak, the greenhouse door opened behind them, and old Mr. Holbrook, the retired steward who had served the Ashford family since their father's youth, entered carrying a lantern. He stopped when he saw them and bowed awkwardly. Forgive me, Your Grace. I did not know anyone was here. Adrian did not look away from Eleanor. You knew my brother had met Mrs. Ashford before, Mr. Holbrook's face changed only slightly, but enough. Eleanor turned toward him. Please don't, Adrian's voice sharpened. Answer me. The old steward hesitated, then lowered his eyes. Lord William had been searching for Miss Bennet for 6 years. Your Grace. The rain against the glass seemed suddenly louder. Adrian stared at him. 6 years. Mr. Holbrook looked miserable now, but the words had already been spoken. Since the accident on the North Road, He never knew her name at first. Only that a young woman had saved his life and vanished before the family could thank her. Adrian slowly turned back to Eleanor. She stood very still beside William's orange trees, the old silver watch hidden beneath her gloved fingers. Her face pale with the fear of a secret finally beginning to break open. And for the first time since his brother's death, Adrian Ashford understood that the woman he had judged from the moment she entered the chapel might not have come to Ashford Manor to take anything. She might have been the one person William had spent 6 years trying to find. The words hung in the greenhouse long after Mr. Holbrook fell silent. Lord William had been searching for Miss Bennet for 6 years. Adrian looked from the old steward to Eleanor, unable to reconcile what he had just heard with everything he had believed. You saved William's life. Eleanor lowered her eyes. Yes. Why didn't you tell anyone? She gave a tired smile. Because Lord William asked me not to. Adrian frowned. That makes no sense. It did to him. Mr. Holbrook quietly excused himself, leaving the greenhouse in heavy silence. Rain continued tapping against the glass roof while neither of them spoke. Finally, Adrian broke the silence. I deserve the truth. Eleanor looked toward William's orange trees before answering. 6 years ago, I found him unconscious beside the North Road after his horse threw him. I didn't know who he was. I only knew he was badly injured. She paused, remembering. I dragged him into an abandoned shepherd's hut. I stayed with him through the night because I thought he would die if I left. Adrian listened without interrupting. The next morning, your family's men found him. Before they arrived, William asked me for one favor. What favor? He asked me not to tell anyone my name. Adrian blinked. Why? Because he said saving a life shouldn't become a debt. For the first time since William's funeral, Adrian felt something painfully close to shame. William had remembered that night for 6 years. Yet Adrian had spent the last week believing Eleanor had married his brother for money. What happened after that? He asked quietly. I went home, and William found you again only a month ago. She reached into her pocket and carefully removed the silver watch Adrian had seen so many times. He brought this with him. Adrian recognized it instantly. It had belonged to their father. William had treasured it more than anything. He told me, Eleanor whispered, that he had looked for me every year. Every steward, every solicitor, every tenant who traveled north was asked if they'd met a girl named Eleanor Bennet. She smiled sadly. And when he finally found me, her voice broke for the first. He discovered I was about to be sold into another marriage. Adrian closed his eyes briefly. Everything he had believed about her was collapsing. That evening, Adrian entered William's private study for the first time since the funeral. The room still smelled faintly of medicine and old books. Everything remained exactly where William had left it. His walking cane, his favorite chair, his unfinished chess game. Adrian slowly opened the desk drawer. Inside lay a sealed envelope. Across the front, in William's unmistakable handwriting, were 5 simple words. For Adrian. After my death, his hands tightened around the letter. He broke the seal. Dear Adrian, if you are reading this, then I have finally lost my battle with time. I know you will be angry when you discover I married Eleanor. Please don't be. She never asked me for anything. She refused my proposal 3 times. Before finally accepting. Adrian stopped reading. 3 times. He swallowed and continued. 6 years ago, Eleanor saved my life without knowing my name. This marriage was never about love. It was about gratitude. I found her just as another man was preparing to buy her through her family's debts. I could not allow that to happen. I had little time left. But I still had my name. So I gave it to her. Adrian felt his throat tighten. You may wonder why I left her nothing. Because if I had given Eleanor wealth, everyone would believe she married me for it. Instead, I leave her only my protection. Or rather, yours. Keep her safe. Not because she was my wife, but because she deserves a life free from fear. One day, When you know her as I did, I believe you will understand. Your brother, William. Adrian lowered the letter slowly. For several minutes, he simply stared at the dying fire. He remembered every cold look he had given Eleanor. Every accusation left unspoken, every assumption. His brother had seen kindness. He had seen calculation. The difference suddenly felt unbearable. The following days changed something inside Ashford Manor. Not overnight. Not dramatically. But gradually. Adrian stopped watching Eleanor like a suspect. Instead, he watched her with quiet curiosity. He noticed how every servant greeted her more warmly than the day before. Mrs. Pembroke smiled again. Old Mrs. Turner's arthritis improved because Eleanor insisted on preparing warm herbal compresses each evening. Even the stable boys adored her because she remembered every horse by name. None of them knew she was being observed. One afternoon, Adrian found her kneeling beside William's grave. There were no flowers. Only silence. You come here every day. She nodded. I promised him I would. What do you say? She smiled faintly. I tell him about the orange trees. Adrian almost laughed. He worried about those trees more than he worried about himself. I know. She looked toward the headstone. I think he worried because he knew he wouldn't see another harvest. For a long moment, they stood together without speaking. Finally, Adrian said quietly, I'm sorry. Eleanor looked at him. For what? For believing the worst of you. She searched his face. I understand why you did. No. He shook his head. I understand why I did. His voice grew softer. But I no longer forgive myself for it. Weeks passed. Grief slowly became routine. Then everything changed. Mr. Hollis arrived from London carrying alarming news. Nathaniel Ashford had challenged William's final will. Not because of Eleanor. Because he claimed William had been mentally incapable when he wrote his final letters. If the court accepts that argument, Hollis explained, Lord William's private correspondence may disappear. Adrian's expression hardened. He wants William's letter destroyed. Yes. And if that happens, Hollis continued, Mrs. Ashford loses the only evidence explaining the marriage. That evening, Eleanor quietly packed her belongings. Not because she feared Nathaniel. Because she refused to become another burden. Mrs. Pembroke found her folding black dresses into a small suitcase. You're leaving? Eleanor smiled sadly. My place here ended with William. Mrs. Pembroke's eyes filled with tears. My dear, I've already caused enough pain. Just before sunrise the next morning, Eleanor walked toward the front gates carrying only one small case. She wore the same simple coat she had arrived in. On her finger remained William's wedding ring. In her pocket rested the old silver watch. Nothing else. She had almost reached the gates when Adrian's voice stopped her. Eleanor. She turned. He was walking quickly despite the rain, coat unbuttoned, hair damp. Breathing harder than usual. You planned to leave without saying goodbye? She smiled gently. I thought it would be easier. For whom? For everyone. He stopped only a step away. No. She looked surprised. I stayed because William asked me to, she said softly. And now? Now he's gone. She lowered her eyes. My promise is finished. Adrian was quiet for several seconds. Then he reached into his coat. I've read it. Eleanor didn't move. He trusted you, Adrian continued. He trusted you more than anyone. He trusted you too. I nearly betrayed that trust. She slowly shook her head. You didn't know. I should have. His voice was firm now. I judged you before I ever spoke to you. Rain fell softly around them. I kept you here because I thought you were hiding something. He stepped closer. But somewhere along the way, his eyes met hers. I realized the only person hiding was me. Eleanor frowned. Slightly. I buried myself inside grief. I stopped believing people could still be good. And then you walked into this house. His voice softened. You expected nothing. You asked for nothing. You loved my brother when everyone else pitied him. And after everything you've endured, you still choose kindness. A tear slipped quietly down Eleanor's cheek. She hadn't expected those words. Not from Adrian. Not ever. He gently took her suitcase from her hand and placed it on the ground. When William asked me to protect you, he smiled faintly. I thought it was another duty, but today, his eyes never left hers. I finally understand. He reached for her hand, not forcefully, carefully, as though afraid she might disappear. Eleanor, I don't want you to stay because of William anymore. I don't want you to stay because you have nowhere else to go. He took a slow breath. I want you to stay because somewhere between the chapel, the greenhouse, and my brother's grave, I fell in love with the woman he spent 6 years searching for. Silence. Only rain. Only two hearts beating far louder than the storm. Eleanor laughed softly through her tears. You've chosen a very strange way to court someone. I know. You spent weeks glaring at me. I regret every one of them. You truly are hopeless. I've been told. She looked at him for what felt like forever. Then she stepped forward. Instead of answering with words, she wrapped her arms around him. Adrian closed his eyes. For the first time since William's death, the weight he had carried finally became lighter. 1 year later, spring returned to Ashford Manor. The orange trees in William's greenhouse bloomed more beautifully than they had in years. Adrian and Eleanor stood together before William's grave, carrying white lilies. Adrian knelt first. You asked me to protect her. He smiled quietly. I almost failed, but thank you for bringing her into my life. Eleanor placed the silver pocket watch beside the flowers for a moment before slipping it back into her pocket. I'll keep taking care of your trees, she whispered. And I'll make sure your brother smiles more often. A warm breeze moved gently through the churchyard. Adrian slipped his hand into hers. Together they walked back toward Ashford Manor. But as two hearts quietly brought together by the kindness of the man who had loved them both in different ways. Sometimes love does not begin with a wedding. The greatest gift a dying man leaves behind is not an inheritance. It is two lonely souls who would never have found each other without. If this story touched your heart, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share your favorite moment in the comments. Your support means the world and inspires more timeless romance.